Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so excited to bring on my guest in a little bit, Melinda Wilson of Face-to-Face Ministries. She and Kathy Little founded Face-to-Face Ministries, and they really do a lot of teaching and training with the Emmanuel approach. The Emmanuel approach is an approach to inner healing or heart healing. And so one thing we're going to be talking about today is when people have had religious trauma or spiritual abuse, how can we then trust to get some healing because you've been abused in a spiritual setting? And so we're going to talk about things like that and in an overview of the Emmanuel approach and how it's trauma informed. And I think it's going to be a really good conversation. So let me go ahead and bring on Melinda. And this is episode 25. So you'll be able to find the show notes and all the links, anything that we talk about, you'll be able to find it there, definedbygod.com/episode25. And here is Melinda. Hi, Melinda. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today. And I think you could probably hear what I was saying in the introduction. I think, as we discussed yesterday, a lot of people that have had some, you know, spiritual abuse, religious trauma, they need some heart healing, but they might feel unsafe to get heart healing. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. But if you could want to just kind of introduce yourself, tell people a little bit more about what you do, and then we'll get on to our topics.
Yeah, it's really an honor to be here. And I was telling you yesterday, Anna, thank you for being part of the bigger picture of helping people experience God's presence, which brings healing. Ultimately, encountering Jesus brings healing to us, whether we want it or not. And and I say that tongue in cheek, because I think everybody does, but not everyone's aware that they need healing. And right. So Emmanuel approach, which is what I've really given my life to, I've been involved in some kind of heart healing, inner healing for about 20 years, 20 plus years. I've known about it my whole life, just having grown up with the awareness of that, but not really pursuing it for myself until adulthood. And what even is that? And I see it just as removing blockages to deeper intimacy with Jesus, inner healing. Mm-hmm. It can often be misconstrued or misunderstood as something scary and big, and I'm going to have to cry for hours and share all my personal details and my traumatic history. But when we encounter the living presence of Jesus and experience his presence, his glad to be with us-ness, as I call it, the definition of joy, then we receive healing. Attachment wounds and traumas of all kinds are healed by encountering the love of Jesus. And so I really have given my life to that. I train people. I do run one-on-one sessions, but that's more of what I'm training others to do. Mm-hmm. I've led, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of sessions, one-on-one healing sessions, but now my heart really is to train and equip and empower people to help other people, but also to help yourself. Because if we can't do it ourselves, then we're always going to be reliant on someone else. And we don't want to create people that are dependent or codependent. We want to create people who are empowered to meet with Jesus for themselves and hear him themselves. And honestly, so, you know, when you think of spiritual abuse or abuse of any kind, it's disempowerment. It's taking away the person's power. Mm-hmm. And I see Emmanuel approach as way more than inner healing. It's a way of life, and it's a way of empowering the person and giving them skills to connect with Jesus for themselves. Daily being aware of what they already have. That's what it is. It's coming into an awareness of what you already have and coming out of that victim mindset of, and the victim just begs and pleads all the time. And that can become an identity. And that's a whole other story. Yep. That's a whole other question that you didn't ask, but get me started. Anna, we were talking yesterday and she's like, no, do you need to know? I said, you can throw me a question anytime and I can just go for it. It's me that has to stop and let you ask me a question because I'm so passionate about this.
Yeah.
And like you, Anna, you know, we may approach it differently, but we're passionate about helping people come into freedom, about helping people discover their true identity. And as not those things that have been put on us or things that we believed because we wanted to believe something and didn't know any better. And we received not very good information in formative years. So anyway, that I really have given my life to help others come into that healed place, really knowing who they are and training others to help others, equipping and training others to help others.
Yeah, that's so good. And I put the website up, facetofaceministries.org. That's where people can find you and all the information about what y'all do there. And we touched on yesterday, even, you know, a lot of people have come out of highly authoritarian church cultures. Mm-hmm. And so counseling can even feel very unsafe because, you know, like you're going to have to confess your sins. You're going to have to, you know, be so sorry for everything wrong you've ever done. And really, that's kind of a myth, or maybe it was true for some people in their situations, but that's not how heart healing, inner healing should be. And it's definitely not how the Emmanuel approach is. So, and I think both of us had a little bit of contact with the Bill Gothard teachings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have, you know, were very impacted by, you know, that. And that's very much spiritual abuse because it's all about authority coming under submission and, you know, how if you do anything wrong, you're going to suffer consequences for it. What was your experience with that?
Well, I remember actually seeing this big brown book in my house growing up. And I remember we had some wood paneling on the walls, which was very common in the 70s. But that book kind of blended into the wall. That's what I remember about it. It's this huge, I don't know. Well, to a kid, it looks like it's 6 feet high, basic youth conflicts. But I can see, and then as an adult looking back, looking at what the teaching that was perpetuated was very unhealthy and toxic and coming really from a performance, like what you, and behavior. We want to control your behavior. And there's so many institutions. One of my closest friends grew up in an institution like that, where it was trying to control everything that you did, how you dressed. Is your skirt too short? Don't wear colored pantyhose. I mean, ridiculous. It's laughable, but it's toxic. And it instills this shame into you. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's why the guy did that to me, because I wore too tight of a blouse. I mean, this is the kind of thing it can explode into, that what it's putting things on, it's a yoke that we weren't designed to carry. It's a heavy man-made, really, it's an almost demonic agenda, because demonic agenda would be to control, to manipulate out of fear. And if you are fearful of hell, if you don't do this, and that's the thing, you may go to hell if you don't do this, or that transactional and conversation is the only way to get to heaven is if you do this, then you can. And that is not who God is. It's not a transactional experience. It's not a transactional relationship. But when you have a person in authority who is saying, unless you behave like this, then you can't be fully accepted, then we often put that on God, even though it's a man-made structure. And it's not who God is at all. But if, especially when we're young, growing up in those formative years, we're looking to the primary caregivers, to the adults in our lives, to know who God is. This is what we do automatically, to know. And even if we didn't grow up in a spiritual or Christian or however you want to put that, religious home, we all have that space in our heart that is looking for something greater than ourselves. And when we're children, our main model is our parents or our primary caregiver, whoever that is, a teacher, a minister, a pastor. Who's the person of influence in your life? And for many people, it was that whole institution, and that have we've seen has created really toxic and unhealthy mindsets. And it's hard to come out of that. Not impossible. Right. Not impossible. Yep. Mm-hmm. But when it's become subconscious thoughts and programs and patterns of I must do this, and you don't even know why you believe it. Maybe you were raised in some really strict church and taught this at Sunday school, and how dare you, or if only you, or you shouldn't have. Any kind of language like that is really a trauma. And trauma isn't always just being beaten over the head or being horribly abused in some way, physical. It's the absence of things that we did need, that loving care, the profoundly gentle guidance of who Jesus is. If we didn't receive that, if we received, you need to check off this list of to-dos if you want to please God, and nowhere does it say that in scripture, first of all, then we have come into this place of seeing God as a taskmaster or as a cruel father who I can never live up to. And then I've got to perform my way into his favor.
Yeah. Almost like God has a little clipboard and he's taking notes. This was a good thing. Oh, she did a good thing today. Oh, she did a bad thing today. Yeah. You know, and that's not his true nature and character at all. And that was one of the things I do love about the Emmanuel approach is that, and even just things I've heard you say, it's like it represents Jesus well, because we can connect with him in his true nature and character. So can you just talk a little bit, like, for example, if someone, say, they've been wounded in the past by, you know, religiosity and control and all of that, how can they now feel safe to go through some heart healing ministry? Just, you know, if you can talk about that and how the Emmanuel approach is very safe and trauma informed.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I honor and respect anyone who's afraid of going to a pastor, a counselor, a leader, a just someone who's in charge to get heart healing. But one thing, even before answering that question, that and we were talking about this yesterday, that every single person on the planet needs heart healing, because we've all been wounded in one way or another, all of us, because our parents were imperfect, our caregivers were imperfect. And there's many, many, many types of inner healing. And I represent and I teach Emmanuel approach because I see it as so gentle. And it's based on brain science. It has nothing to do with how well you pray or what prayer you pray. It is the opposite of anything religious that I've ever done. And I grew up in the church. I grew up in, you know, you were talking earlier about prayers I pray or got to confess this stuff. And I remember, and I'll circle back to Emmanuel approach, because how I've experienced God through it and how my theology has changed because of encountering Jesus in Emmanuel approach. But I grew up in the Presbyterian church where you have to, every week there's a moment, and this is beautiful and wonderful if you're doing it from the aspect of knowing who God's heart is and knowing who your heart, knowing your heart, that we did this prayer of confession and we read it out and we confess sins unknown and known, whatever that means. And then like that threw me for a loop, like, oh my God, what did I do this week that I don't know about? And then they gave 30 seconds of silence. Now prayer, confess all your other sins done this week. I remember, Anna, honestly, like scouring my mind, like looking through a file cabinet of what did I do? When I looked at my sister in a snarky way, was that a sin? And so I would just confess everything. Forgive me for not saying yes, ma'am, to my mom right away when she said, do your laundry. Oh my gosh, I left the clothes on the floor. Just anything.
Yeah.
I would be in, and then they would come to the end of the 30 seconds and I wouldn't be ready because I would fear that I didn't finish the rest of the confession.
Yeah.
And then literally not knowing what was sin, what wasn't sin. And then if I didn't confess at all, then what the heck is going to happen? Mm-hmm. And really feeling like God would, like you said, the clipboard, well, you didn't confess when you were rude to your neighbor 3 weeks ago. Oh, shoot. And so that is how I lived a lot of my life growing up, was this, and it was unspoken. No one ever said, but of course, as children, we don't know. We make assumptions. We don't know. This is our narrative. And until someone shares otherwise, then I'm seeing God as I've got to do all this before he'll be pleased with me. And that was a subconscious pattern that was ingrained in my psyche, into my brain.
Yeah.
And that's how I saw God for many years.
And what does that do to our own identity? You know, it's like, yeah, it brings so much confusion. Am I a good person? Am I a bad person? You know?
And then we're trying to define good and bad by our standards or by whose standards, by what standards. Right. And then you see what's normal, what's not normal. Why is this person being blessed and I'm not? Oh, it's because I didn't confess my sins. And it becomes this competition and comparison, this gross, toxic. And God is like, I have absolutely nothing to do with that. This is man-made. This is not me at all. And so Emmanuel approach, the reason I said it's changed my theology is because it's changed how I see and view God and experience him, mm-hmm. that it has nothing to do with what I've done. And it was created by a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, who was seeing that, yes, we can do talk therapy, and that's really helpful to a point. But when you invite Jesus into a place of just actually an appreciation place, and that's how it starts, is I don't start with here's my worst traumas or here's my pain. And that's the beauty. And the other beauty of Emmanuel approach is sometimes we don't even talk about trauma. We don't even go there because Jesus is bringing healing to the places that were wounded by trauma. He's bringing healing to the heart without even having to revisit anything.
Right.
And so if I'm continually maybe having a gnawing sense of rejection, but I don't have a specific memory because it's even pre-verbal, or it happened, when I say pre-verbal, I mean usually before four, where I can't actually have a conscious memory of something, just the way our brain works, that maybe and this happens and it creates attachment wounds and all that, but God brings his healing just by simply being glad to be with me. Mm-hmm. I don't even need to revisit trauma, but how it has really changed my life, this Emmanuel approach, is that it's not just an inner healing model. It's a way of life. It's a way of doing life with God. It's a way of becoming aware of what we already have. So there's no to-do list. And because, again, like I said, it's based on brain science, my brain, my neural pathways are actually changing, and it has brought my joy level, has increased my joy level exponentially. My resiliency, my capacity to face hard things that has increased because my neural pathways have changed. And because I start in a place of appreciation in my mind, I go to a place, a true memory, not a daydream, not a imagined place, but a true place where I have felt appreciation. And that can be mm-hmm. so simple. Like I walked to the end of a dock and saw a lovely sunset, and I revisit that and feel it in my body and experience it with all of my senses. And my right brain doesn't know the difference between 20 years ago and now. And so when I revisit and experience a lovely memory that is really makes me happy and enter it with all of my senses, my right brain releases all the feel-good chemicals that were originally released in that memory, in that experience, like oxytocin mm-hmm. and dopamine and serotonin and those ones that, like, they're addictive in a sense. We want to feel those things.
Right.
we turn to other things to get hits of dopamine, like get on Instagram and see how many likes we have. It's not likes on Instagram. I don't even know what it is. Maybe it is. But how many people like me today? How many people commented on my story? And it gives us hits of dopamine. But when we connect with Jesus in this way, it's releasing dopamine from a place of relational connection, which is what we are created and designed for. Our brains are created for connection.
Yes. And I like what I've heard you say, and I think Jim Wilder says that joy is someone is happy to be with me.
Yeah.
And which is also another hit of that, you know,
feel
good hormones. And when we do connect with Jesus, in the Emmanuel approach, he's so happy to be with us. And that is just amazing. And like you said, that can bring a lot of healing, just having this new connection in a positive way, where we're not seeing God or Jesus as that taskmaster, but he's just happy to be with us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that brings a lot of joy right there. So, we talked about a few myths of heart healing that might keep people away from going through. And one was, and you just, when I asked you, are there any myths? And you just rattled a whole bunch off, like came to your mind right away, which is great. So one was that you have to be really messed up in order to want or need heart healing.
Yeah.
Which of course you don't, like you said, everybody really needs it, and not just needs it, but will benefit from learning just to connect more with Jesus. Another would be that it would be embarrassing. And I think probably a big one that might keep people away is that you have to re-experience the trauma. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about that? How, you know, that's not how the Emmanuel approach works, and that it can be fearful for people if you think, oh, I'm going to experience all that pain just like it's right now. And
yeah. And one thing that another huge difference, well, there's a lot of differences between talk therapy and inner healing, but specifically Emmanuel approach, you don't have to come in and describe the worst day of your life.
Right.
Or something that perhaps you've revisited over and over because it is so painful and traumatic. And because we start in a place of actually getting our brain warmed up, so to speak, getting your relational circuits, as Dr. Carl Lehman calls them, that just means the place that I, in my brain, it's really the prefrontal orbital cortex, the place in my brain that is there to relate, to connect with God and people, to get that online, so to speak. You know, we even say offline. When something's offline, there's no connection. If my Wi-Fi router is offline, my phone is offline, my computer offline, there's no connection. This appreciation gets our brain online, ready for connection to God, to other people. So starting from that place of feeling really good, that's how it starts. People feel good. And then from that place, when they're brain is warm, when the relational circuits are on, then it's asking Jesus, and it's very gentle. If the person wants to, if they're comfortable, help me be aware of your presence. We know we'll hear, we know in our left brain, and we're heard that Jesus is always with us, but do we believe it in our right brain? Have we experienced that? And that's a huge thing with Emmanuel. That is Emmanuel approach. It's crossing the left and the right brain. And people often have said, it's the 18-inch journey between head and heart, but literally it's the left and right hemispheres. If you're talking, I mean, it's a beautiful analogy, head to heart. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's an easy way of sort of feeling it and expressing it. But if you're looking at it neurologically, it is truly bridging the gap between what I know in my left brain and what I've experienced in my right brain. You know, and I could hear all about you and read about you, read your biography, and read things about you. And, oh, you know, she's got golden red hair and she lives in Texas and that's cool. And I know these facts, but then I meet you in person and hug you and see your smile and see where you live, that's a totally different encounter. That's experiencing you and experiencing your presence. That's what a manual approach is. I know all these things, but then I get to experience Jesus. And that's really what it's about. We don't focus on wounds and trauma or sin. We don't focus on that at all. We focus on the interactive connection with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And once that connection is made, and then people are like, well, how do I know if I'm going to make a connection? Well, if you don't, there's all sorts of ways that the facilitator, a trained facilitator, can help you. And nothing wrong with anyone. There's nothing wrong. It's a practice and it's a skill to be developed. Then we ask Jesus, what does he have planned for you today? And maybe the person does have a specific target they want to go for. Maybe they were like, oh, I really got triggered this last week at work when my boss said this to me, and I'm not sure why. So we can ask Jesus about it. And I, as a facilitator, don't try to figure it out. And I certainly don't ask you to try to figure it out as the recipient, because you don't know. We don't know. But Jesus does. And so he may say, hey, and he may remind the person of maybe a memory that happened, a painful memory when their teacher rejected them for some reason. But what happens is we don't sit in that memory and re-experience it and get re-traumatized. It's an immediate inviting Jesus into that painful memory to see how he's responding. Mm-hmm. And because so much trauma happens when we feel like we're all alone. Right. And there's a difference between trauma and suffering and pain. You know, we can suffer well. You've heard that expression. She suffered well. And we don't want to suffer, but we're all going to experience pain and suffer. It's just a fact. I mean, Jesus even promised, it's one of those verses you don't want to look at. Like, in this world, you'll have trouble. But I've overcome the world. Not only has he overcome it, he's with us. So when we then look at a memory, instead of feeling, I see Jesus with me in that. If I was 10, 9, 8, 25, I see Jesus with me. So it no longer has that painful hold. Mm-hmm. What I've also seen happen is that he doesn't even ask. It's not even about him asking the person. Sometimes he does, but he's always asking permission. And there's no forcing of anybody to do anything that they're not comfortable doing. But like I shared earlier, sometimes the person, maybe the trauma came because their parents were absent. They were never there. They provided for them, but they really never felt love. They didn't feel acceptance. They didn't ever come to their ball games. They were never home when they got home. Everything was provided for, but there was a loneliness. And you really can't put your finger on it, but there's an aching loneliness all the time, or a fear of abandonment in the person. But Jesus comes in and meets them in their positive memory, and they can just spend an hour, a half hour, however long, like you said, and as Dr. Wilder, who's another neuroscientist, joy, the neurological definition of joy is knowing someone's glad to be with me. Then Jesus, however he shows up for the person, it may look unorthodox. That's another thing, is we've got to get out of our box of Jesus is going to look like the flannel graph. If you're over 40, you know what that is, or maybe the after school Bible study or whatever. And Jesus is this cutout piece of flannel felt thing that you stick on the board. Yeah. Always white and blonde and white robe with a blue sash. I can see it in my mind. And I'm like, I don't think that's quite how he looked. So he may show up as an animal, as a part of nature, as a kid, as something that you can relate to, because that's who he is.
Yeah.
And then he actually just spends time with you and shares with you. And so part of a manual approach is the facilitator will help the person hear Jesus for themselves. I'm not going to tell you what Jesus feels about you, Anna, because it's not going to be anywhere as powerful, as effective as Jesus sharing with you how he feels.
Right.
That's the memory. That's the experience that someone goes away with. So like I was saying, if they have experienced all this abandonment or this aching loneliness they can't quite put their finger on because they have attachment wounds from their parents not being present with them, and now I'm sitting with this Jesus, this God beside me, or however he is showing up in this positive memory, and he is pouring out his love. He's assuring them that he's glad to be with them. He's telling them what he likes about them. They're having this interaction. Oh boy, I like grape juice like you do. Or my favorite drink is ginger ale like you. And they're actually talking like friends. It's healing attachment wounds without going to any memory, especially if there is no cognitive memory. But even if there is, maybe it was some horrible abuse, but now Jesus as a man is sitting there gentle, loving, kind, patient, so glad to be with the person.
Yeah.
And all that healing is happening without even having to go to painful places. And I've seen this over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And we don't have to sit and rehash and talk about for ages all the horrible things that happened to me. You don't need to do that, because how does it make you feel? It's actually releasing, because it's going back into your right brain. It's releasing all the not feel good chemicals. I mean, they're all helpful for us in some way, but when you are living on adrenaline and cortisol and those stress hormones, which many of us have for our whole lives, we've lived in that state of survival,
right?
Flee or fight, freeze or fawn, and that trauma response, because that's how we've been trained. And so God comes in and shows us how to live from that place of rest, of peace, of joy. And actually our nervous system changes as our neural pathways change. And so we have a whole system reboot. And it takes time, though. This is not just a one and done thing. This is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. It's a practice.
You come for one session and you're good. That's not reality. That's not how we get healing. But it's the practice.
Yeah.
It's the practice of him being glad to be with me. I do dishes at the sink, and I practice this so much. I can instantly see or experience or feel where Jesus is with me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, what do you like? What about dishes do you like doing? You know, we just have that conversation. Yeah. It's like hanging out with a friend. It's not a big deal. It's not all weird and contrived and scary, but that's a practice that I have developed and a skill I've developed over years. But that's what I'm talking about, that lifestyle of coming into awareness of what's already there, his presence. If there's no separation, and that's what Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from my love, and I'm in you, you're in me. What the heck does that mean? And so Emmanuel approach has brought scripture to life of, oh, I cannot do anything apart from him. I don't leave him at the door when I go out. He is in and with me. I am in him. He is in me. And so it's expanding how I've even read scriptures, how I've interpreted scriptures, how scriptures have been taught and preached to me. In fact, honestly, because I've heard so many sermons in my life, I don't want to hear any more sermons. Where I get the most growth from and healing is connecting with Jesus.
What does he
have to say to me today?
Yeah.
Not what Pastor Smith has, that whatever, that's cool. That's what God's saying to you. But what, and I'm not saying don't go to church, but I'm saying it has gone way more than I got to wait to go to church to hear what God has to say. Ew, gross. No. And that's a religious system that needs to be demolished.
Yeah. Because we need our own connection.
Yes.
With Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like, that's where life is.
Right. Mm-hmm. What does he have for me today? How does he want to hang out? And it's not even like, what does he have to preach to me today? It's how does he want me to know that he feels about me today? And that changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to stop and take a breath, Anna, because I got my preach on. I told you I could do that, but I'm like, all right, this is your podcast.
This is great. I think if I had been traumatized by church and was listening to this, I would feel so much better and safer about being able to open my heart to receive some ministry and to connect with Jesus. Yeah. Is there time to just take people into a quick appreciation moment? Mm-hmm. Can we do that?
Yeah. Do you want to go into inviting Jesus or just stay in appreciation?
I think it would be great to also invite Jesus, since we've been talking about that. I think that would be great.
Yeah. Well, let me just give a tiny little bit of explanation. So this is, I've led hundreds and hundreds of group Emmanuels. I've done it on our podcast too. So I've done it without people present, but it's good to have you, Anna, there. But really, it's a simple exercise, and it is the introduction into a fuller Emmanuel approach session if you're looking at it from the healing standpoint. And simply we go, I'll invite you and guide you into re-entering a positive memory. Mm-hmm. And it's a positive memory that doesn't have any splinters, meaning it just is free of any pain or like feeling. Sometimes we can have a memory that's like, that was wonderful, but that was the day that I also found out my dog died, or it's just something that it, like, we want to stay away from that. So mm-hmm. I often just say, maybe a simple memory with nature. Oh, I saw a beautiful sunset the other day. But we don't stop to actually appreciate it. And again, this is a practice. And then as I was sharing, we get our relational circuits on. That's what appreciation does. It warms up our brain for that relational connection. And then I'll ask you to simply ask Jesus to help you be aware of his presence. And then notice whatever is coming into your awareness. And it may be a cloud. It might be a tree. It might be a sensation. It might be you actually see an image, but there's no wrong way. And that just being with him and then allowing him to speak to us. And maybe I'll ask him a question or two. And if you don't feel like you are connecting, I want to give this caveat. If you don't feel like you're connecting, it's okay. Again, this is a skill and a practice. Stay in that appreciation and I'll guide you through that. So we'll just do this for the next few minutes. And when I'm silent, don't turn the podcast off or check, because it's because I'm giving you space to reconnect with that memory. So when you hear the silence, just stick with it. All right. We'll just take the next few minutes to do that. So I'd invite you to, if you're listening while you're driving, I'd invite you to, if you can, pull over. And if you're in a place where you can close your eyes, I invite you to do that because it helps you be free from distraction. Then I'd invite you to just take a few deep breaths. For me, I like to put my hand on my heart to remind myself of connection with myself, with my heart, that this is not a disembodied or disconnected exercise. This is our whole being, spirit, soul, body, connected, heart. And if you're able to just take a couple low, slow, long, deep breaths in your nose, this just resettles the nervous system, brings us into our parasympathetic nervous system. Until you feel a more settled, peaceful, calm sensation coming over you. Just allowing yourself to settle in for a few moments. This is not going to take long, but it's incredible how quickly we can recenter and resettle our nervous system, our heart, into a place of rest. Into a place of centeredness. And then I'd invite you, and as I was talking, some of you may have already had a positive or appreciation memory experience come into your awareness, and I'd invite you to bring that into mind right now. We use our imagination all the time to imagine things, often not very nice things that make us feel bad or anxious or fearful. But now we're re-experiencing a moment in our lives that makes us feel good. Maybe it was a visit with a friend, holding your grandchild, holding your baby, walking your dog, a trip to a beautiful place. Maybe it was smelling a flower, a lovely meal you had. Something really simple that you can feel appreciation for. So let your mind's eye go back there. In your mind's eye, go back there. See yourself there. And it could have been yesterday. It could have been 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. And notice and be aware of your surroundings. What could you see? Who were you with, or were you alone? What sounds are you aware of in that memory? Any smells? What could you smell? Just using all of your senses. If you were eating, what were you tasting? What was that like? What could you feel? Were you touching something? Were you walking, standing, sitting? How did your body feel in that experience? And notice your heart, your emotions. What were you feeling in that positive appreciation memory? And allow yourself to feel those feelings again. Notice and be aware of what it felt like, your heart. And as you're reconnecting with this experience, notice what you feel especially grateful for about this. Maybe it's the person you were with, or your health, or your whatever you were seeing in nature. What do you especially appreciate about this particular moment? And allow appreciation to fill you up, to fill your cells, to fill your body, to fill your heart. What you're grateful for, what you appreciate about this, and notice what appreciation feels like. Even begin to notice how you feel in the moment right now, how your body feels. Maybe you've noticed that there's a smile across your face and you weren't even aware of it. But be aware of how appreciation feels in your heart, in your body. And then if you feel comfortable and want to, you don't have to, you can just stay in this beautiful place of appreciation. But if you'd like to, and if you're curious of what it means that Jesus, when he said, "I'm always with you," and even if this was a memory that before you were a Christian, it doesn't matter, he's always with us. And if you'd like to, just make a simple invitation of, in your heart, "Jesus, help me to be aware of your living interactive presence with me here. Help me to be aware of your living interactive presence here in this memory. And then notice whatever comes into your awareness after you ask that. Don't try, don't strive to imagine what he might look like, but just notice whatever is coming into your awareness. And it might be a gentle breeze. It might be when you have those goosebumps. It might be just a knowing. And then some of you might see a figure. You might see his face. But just notice even any kind of gentle, subtle hint of his presence. And I'd encourage you, if you don't sense his presence, to not get frustrated or, what am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. But simply stay in that positive memory and reconnecting with all of your senses in that place. This is a practice and a skill to be developed. You're not doing anything wrong. And if you do have an awareness of, oh, I noticed this, the sun just got brighter, or whatever that, however he wants to present himself to you, just notice those subtle things. And then be aware of how it feels. What happened? Maybe something shifted in that positive memory. Maybe it got brighter. Maybe it felt more warm. I don't know. There's no wrong or right way. But as you made that invitation, just notice what happened. What came up when you said, Jesus, help me be aware of your living interactive presence. And if you do have a connection and sense presence, I'd invite you, if you want to, as friends interact with one another, just to simply put this question out there for him, and don't try hard, just notice and be aware of what you feel or hear or sense in response. Simply asking, Jesus, how do you feel about me? Jesus, how do you feel about me? And notice the first thing that comes into your awareness. We know God's voice. I like to say a litmus test of love. If it feels like, sounds like, looks like, smells like love, then it is most likely him, for he is love. So just notice and be aware of what that feels like to hear or sense his response to you. And maybe it just came, maybe you got a verse, maybe you felt a gentle touch. There's a million ways that he shares his love with us. And notice those slight, subtle changes or something very subtle. He's so gentle. And if there was no awareness of his presence or what he might have been saying, I'd invite you to just reconnect with that appreciation moment, how it felt, all of your senses, being in that, letting that yourself marinate in that. If you did have a connection with Jesus, just noticing, be aware of how that feels in your body, in your heart, to be with him there. And maybe he says something to you. So just be aware of how that feels. And then for about 10 more seconds, we're just going to marinate in that, let that go deep. Take a few deep breaths. Let that settle into your nervous system. And then as you're ready, you can open your eyes and slowly, gently come back to this present moment. And I want to bless everyone who tried that. And I also want to encourage and assure you that if you didn't have an awareness of his presence, that there is nothing wrong with you, that you didn't do anything wrong, that there wasn't something that you did or didn't do, and someone else has a wonderful experience, and you're like, well, I could barely even get into appreciation, let alone experience Jesus. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You didn't do anything wrong. This is not a 5 steps to freedom at all. Mm-hmm. This is a practice. Yeah. And if you had a hard time, even with appreciation, that's okay too. And that's a practice. Just even today, let's say you couldn't get in, like, I have no positive memories. Today, I'd encourage you, go outside. Let me tell you, creation is where it's at, y'all. If you live in a city, I don't care. Find a flower. Find something beautiful. The sky, the clouds. Spend a minute. Linger there. What do you appreciate about? If you're sick, if you're someone who is in chronic pain or illness, what's one thing? Maybe you had a lovely cup of coffee today. One thing, and linger there. Just, I'm not saying ignore your circumstances. I'm saying looking for that one tiny place of appreciation. You can do it. I promise you there's one thing that you can find that you appreciate in life. Maybe it's I was able to put my shirt on today without pain. Something simple, something simple. And then linger there and notice how it feels. And that's really the beginning of changing our neural pathways and increasing, literally increasing our ability to face hard things. And that's what we increase that joy bucket, increase the joy capacity. And joy is just knowing someone's glad to be with me. And that's, we get to experience that with Jesus, with a friend, even with a dog. Did you know that? With a pet?
Absolutely.
And I, you, Anna, you have dogs that are always happy to be with you.
Yeah.
You can experience that with a dog. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many ways. And Anna, I know we could talk for hours and hours and hours. And I'm like, okay. She's yeah. like, oh my gosh, we're like way longer than what I said. And I apologize.
But, No. This has been so good. Like I could just stay in this all day, but so whoever's listening, you can just, you know, play it again and experience it again. And just stay in his presence. It was so good. I'm just going to tell a really fast what I saw when I was connecting, because I recently was on a cruise, not a overnight cruise, but just a little sunset cruise mm-hmm. in New York Harbor when I was on a trip. And my daughter and I were there and we were up on the top deck and we were trying to get pictures. And this lady was taking pictures of us and it was so windy and our hair was everywhere. And, but it was just so much fun. Like I just love, of course, hanging out with my daughter. And, so that was my appreciation moment. And then I just saw Jesus there with us. And of course, you know, a lot of times we see him with long hair. Well, yeah. In this picture, his hair was so long and it was just like ours. It was blowing everywhere. And he was just laughing and having the best time with us. So anyway, so that's a great. You know, just a great way to connect with him laughing.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, thank you so much. I think this is so good today. I really do. And I appreciate your time and your, just what you carry. It's just amazing. And, so I just want to let everybody know you can find all the show notes definedbygod.com/episode25. And we'll have Melinda's information there, the link to her, website and all of that. And, yeah. So thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Melinda. Any last words you can just tell everybody goodbye, however you want to.
Well, it certainly has been an honor, Anna. And I would encourage people to start small. If you're on a journey of healing, it's not all going to happen overnight, but there is so much hope and there's so much more joy than you even have ever known, because there's a scripture that says in his presence is fullness of joy. And a better way to translate that from the Hebrew is in the face-to-face with God. There's no Hebrew word for presence. It actually means face. That when they wanted to say presence, they used the word face. And so in his face, and we get to experience his face being glad to be with you. That is joy. That is. Yeah. And so I bless you, your heart, your mind, your body, every part of your heart to experience, to come into awareness of how glad he is to be with you. Not just when you go into a healing session, all the time, no matter what you're doing. And if you need some help with that, contact Anna, contact us at Face to Face Ministries. And it's okay to need help. We all need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening. And have an awesome day. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.